What's up, Snapback fam? We've got another NFL Draft Series guest. Today's guest is quarterback Sean Clifford from Penn State University. We've got good Penn State ties. Obviously, Abe went to Penn State. My fiance went to Penn State. Alex, who has connected us, went to Penn State. So I'll put on my proverbial Penn State hat for this conversation. But where are you at right now?
Currently in Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
3 hours outside State College, something like that. You pass Downingtown on the drive from Philadelphia to State College.
Give it two hours. Yeah, solid.
There
solid.
You go. Well, we're excited to have you on. This is very exciting for me, given that I've been watching you for the last 4 years at Penn State, even when I was a senior there. There's one thing I wanted to talk about off the bat, right? When people would visit me at Penn State like Jack, and they'd want a good meal, I'd say there's a Chipotle down the street, my boy. Like, are you with me in that Penn State's food? I love the university, my experience there. Penn State's food is trash.
That is an aggressive statement right there.
That's so, like, aggressive. What are your spots?
I'll go ahead and say this, okay? As I journey through the NFL and then, you know, my ventures afterwards, 100%. I already have a bunch of thoughts on we have to improve the food. It's the selection. It's the
exactly,
selection. It's not.
Dude.
It's not that the food might not be bad. That the you know they do a good job. It's just that small town. You got a lot of chains. You know, we could up it. We could definitely up it. I think Cane's was a great addition. Raising Cane's was a great addition.
They added Cane's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Oh, my God. Well, that's actually probably for the better. I would have got very, very fat. But down the line, when you want to link up on improving Penn State's food, you hit me up. We'll get something.
So what
going.
Is the go-to, Sean? Because we had a good meal. We had a good meal wherever we
ate. We went to Gigi's, and Gigi's is solid. I think, you know, if you're trying to get, like, the uppity feel a little bit, you go out to the field.
Yep.
But
I've been to the field before.
That's quality dining in State College.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem, Jack, is the field, you're still just going to have a burger. So it's,
right.
It's like you're not getting anything crazy. But, yeah, Abe, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I legitimately used to go to the Wegmans buffet when I wanted to go out to dinner. That and McClanahan sandwiches about six times a week.
What's the place above Target? I just went there.
Oh, that place is solid.
Federal Tap House.
Yeah.
Federal Tap.
I'm not kidding.
Good wings.
And I shit on
Good
Penn
wings.
State all the time. One of the best wings I've ever had in my life. So
fair. That is a fair point.
We're on the map. But I do have another little fun Penn State question for you. Me and Jack's fiance were discussing this earlier. I want you to fuck, kill, marry the Den, Bar Blue, and P-Man.
And this isn't – look, we can hold this till after the draft process if you're worried about
– Yeah, I prefer that.
Any coaches
okay, ready?
Here
we go. Kiss, hug –
No, I think he's more concerned with them thinking that he's a frequenter of these three locations.
Yeah, I'm not. The language is fine. I'm a fiery guy. I think I've been put out there sometimes as using some of that language. I won't directly use it now.
There we go.
But what were my options again?
The Den, Bar okay. Blue, and P-Man.
Holy. Okay.
You got trash, you know, and garbage.
Let me just put this out there first and foremost. You know, I'm a social drinker. I'll go out with my friends, you know, have a good time after a game, see some people.
Of course.
Let's just get that out there. But if I had to go out, you know, I think the Den, that was one of the recruit spots when you're going up and you're having visits and everything like that. A lot of recruits see it from the outside, obviously. So I don't think I think you'd have to marry that place. You know, I think when it comes to fornicating, we'll go with that. I think P-Man is a great spot there. So P-Man, and then Bar Blue is done. So it's already killed.
Oh,
so you
really?
Took care
that was the one I was going to marry. I loved Bar Blue.
That was a great spot. Lots of, you know, that was a perfect spot to meet up with people, but it's no longer, COVID got it.
So I lived in Center Court right there. So like I wasn't one to, you know, go far. So like I would, my nights out whenever I'd have socially just like hanging out with the guys would be hanging out in that one little square area. So those were kind of the three there that I
– Well, Champs is the new champ of the Penn State yeah. bar scene.
Yeah, Champs has always been the spot, so yeah. –
All right, we'll talk a little bit of sports because just in case an NFL coach or scout listens, we want them to know that you don't only socially have a drink after wins, you also like to play on the field. You had your pro day. That's when I was up at school. How'd that go for you? And then I want to hear about like your energy because you're a very motivated person, and I'm sure a lot of this process has been humbling, but also I'm sure gotten the juices flowing.
Yeah, I think that pro day was huge for me just because of the fact that I didn't get that combine invite. And, you know, not seeing my name on that list definitely added fuel to the fire. Just because, you know, I thought that I put a body of work out there that was, you know, at least respectable to be at the combine. And when I didn't see my name there, you know, it just made me work harder. I'm one of those guys who I'm not going to use that as, oh, you know, I got no shot. If anything, it just gave me even more to push harder, go harder in training and get ready. But pro day was huge, you know, getting in front of the, you know, all the scouts. It's always very helpful being at Penn State. You know, you got the likes of Joey Porter, Jair Brown. I mean, Joey's probably going to go, you know, in the top 20, maybe top 15. So you got every scout there. You got every team. We had all 32 represented. So being able to throw in front of everybody was great. Being able, honestly, to test in front of everybody was even better for me just because I didn't get to go to the combine. So I popped a 4.5, proved that I can run. So I was rolling there. And then I saw Jack afterwards at Gigi's.
I'm sorry.
So popped the 4.5 and then was able to, you know, run a really good shuttle. Broad jumped. You know, it's crazy how adrenaline rolls, right? Mm-hmm. I'm jumping on broad jump like, you know, 9.1, 9.2, all, you know, just consistently. And then I go out there and you just get that juice, you know, everybody's watching it. You could hear a pin drop and I jump 9.8, which I've never jumped 9.8 ever, but like, you know, I think that it's just that adrenaline, that game, like adrenaline, you know, you're going to play your best when the lights are on, when they're shining. So, you know, I had a really good pro day, really happy with the body of work that I had. There was actually, you know, all the scores came out and I ranked, you know, as the, you know, top three, top four guy, coming out this year. So from an athletic standpoint, which is, I mean, you look at me, you know, I'm not like the most jacked, but at the same time, I feel like I bring a little bit of athletic ability to the table. So just being able to show scouts that I can make a play, you know, create and, really add that value to a team was huge.
Hold on. I need to do this because Abe, I think, would be very interested in this. So he didn't go to the combine. And so at Pro Day, you hear about the friendly clocks, right? The unofficial versus the official. But tell us the Franklin story because he was giving you an accurate time because the first time, right, he gave yep. you a bad time.
I didn't like it. No, you're spot on. So Coach Franklin's been doing it for years, but we'll have the bleachers set up on both sides. And then the parents are, you know, outside the ropes on the outside of the field. And then the scouts line right along the 40. So when you look up, it's nobody's talking. It's so quiet. And all you see, I mean, I'm shirtless and pretty much naked and looking at all the scouts, right down the 40 yards, you know, and you're just, I mean, you're focused, ready to roll. But when you finish, you always turn around and you look back and Franklin stands up. So it's all the scouts and then he's just standing and he'll go to the parents. He'll go. And then the first time you don't want to, you know, if you're a 4.5, 4.4 guy, you don't want him to use two hands because obviously that means that you're down. So the first one I see 4 and I see 6.2. And so right then and there, I had my shirt on for the first one. I had to pop the top off. I had to go. So I popped the top off, go shirtless and pop a 4.57, which was cool to then see the 4.5. And I was like, oh, let's go. So it was a lot of fun to get out there and perform. But yeah, that's a great
point. As long as you're not seeing the 5 as the first hand, that would be my biggest worry.
One thing you mentioned about the pro day, which is actually pretty interesting to me, is the fact that you said that you could hear a pin drop, right? It's a little bit different than the combine where everyone's just really hyper-focused, not in a massive arena, on a practice field. At what point in the pro day, when you're throwing the ball around, does do the nerves kind of settle in and you realize you're just like throwing the ball to guys that you've thrown the ball to for years now?
I mean, honestly, right. once you get that first throw in, right. you know, you always want to set the script up so that way you get an easy one to start. Similar to a game, you know, you always want to get that first hit. You want to get that first throw out, get that first completion so you can kind of get on a roll. The minute that slant was completed, it was just back to the backyard with the boys, you know, being able to go out there with my buddies who I've been playing with for so long, you know, Parker Washington, Mitch Tinsley now, you know, I had that like, last year with Keandre Lambert. My brother was out there this year because they made the new rule where the underclassmen can now throw with us. So the minute that happened, man, it was just back to it felt like I was in a summer training session at Penn State just getting throws.
Oh,
up, so
he has another really good. All right, he's an Eagles guy. You got to give him the Jalen Hurts story now.
What you're saying at the Maxwell?
Yeah, at camp.
Oh, well, yeah. So Jalen, the first time that I met Jalen, I got a lot of respect for that guy.
Me too.
The way that he works, I watch a lot of Jalen Hurts tape too, just because I'm no Jalen Hurts when it comes to running A-gap to A-gap and all that, but I feel like I can make, like I said before, I can make a play. So I love watching the way he can create and push the ball down the field, be aggressive, but not too aggressive, you know. But the first time I met Jalen, it was we were rooming together and we were bunk mates. So we were both in these little twin bunks down at Quincy Avery's flight
academy. Were you on the top or the bottom?
I was at the top. Okay. He got there first, and he elected to take the bottom.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, man, like you got it. So I went up to the top bunk, and so it's like, you know, we had a long training session, and we hung out after. So we were up till probably like 12:30 or 1 o'clock, whatever it was, just hanging around the Airbnb and everything like that. And it's like 6:30, 7 a.m., and I start hearing like old gospel music or like old, just, I mean,
Gloria
music
Baker.
I just listen to, and it's just Jalen, and he's on the bottom bunk, and he's just kind of like getting ready for the day, like starting the day up. And I like kind of look down and I'm like, dude, like, are you, like, what's going on? Are you good? Like we don't have a training session for like another 4 hours. So that was when I really started to understand who Jalen Hurts was. You know, he's a grinder. He is exactly as advertised. Somebody who's going to get up and you know, start his day and really make the most of it. But yeah, bunk mates with Jalen Hurts. Jalen, if you're watching this,
he is.
It was great seeing you at the Maxwell's. And
I'm glad that you went on that long rant about Jalen, because Jack historically has said some pretty negative things.
I went to Texas, so I got to see him at Oklahoma, and he's been a grinder. And I didn't.
You're not going to angle your hate as Oklahoma, Texas right now.
No. I when I watched him play at Oklahoma, he was obviously awesome, but he had some accuracy issues. So I said that's probably one of the flaws. And in year one in Philly, it was. The real thing that I love to mess about with Jalen is I crave, you know, I like to hate on Abe as an Eagles fan, so I root against the Eagles. I crave his post-game workouts when he loses games. But it is who he is. It's not for the act. But I, you know, social media, I like to make fun of that.
Yeah, good thing he doesn't lose too many football games.
That's true.
That is fair. No, I mean, but as you said, it's not advertisement. It's not.
Right.
It's who he is, which I do appreciate, you know, watching him, you know, as a, you know, a fellow quarterback. I got a lot of respect for his game, the way that he goes about his business. So it was cool to see him. And then I just saw him at the Maxwell Award again. So,
oh, nice.
He's kicking ass and taking names. It there definitely seems like it. He's getting better too.
So I'm not going to ask you directly the hard hitting media question, cause I know you're media trained by now. The, who do you want to go to? Right. Cause I know I'm not going to get that, but what I am going to do is try and phrase it a little bit differently. Did you grow up a fan of the NFL? Like, did you support a team? That's not my question.
I did. I was originally from Barrington, Illinois. Whole family, my dad's side is in Chicago, so kind of a Bears fan early. And then when I moved to Cincinnati, that was when I became a Bengals fan. I've always been a Bengals fan. You know, my senior year of high school was, you know, my brother and I got really close. He was in eighth grade, so we had like that 4 year difference.
Yeah.
So we were cool, but you know, we had that brother connection where you're like, you kind of, you know, you're still like, don't completely like each other, you know, the whole nine. But my dad, that Christmas before that season, got us season tickets for the Bengals. And as all the motion sensor lights are starting to flicker off, but he got us season tickets for the Bengals. And so we went every single weekend. And that was when my brother and I became like best friends. So I, you know, wherever I go, I'll always have a love for the Cincinnati Bengals just because of that.
But if there was a team, maybe it would be in Cincy. All right, that's pretty good.
We can clip that any which way and get it to say whatever we want. Don't worry, we got what we need out of it.
Yeah, we'll get you saying you're taking Burrow's spot in no time. We'll get the AI.
AI is crazy.
Yeah, you've seen artificial intelligence.
AI is crazy nowadays, so I could only imagine what you guys could do with that.
So, all right, so if you could throw a touchdown to any receiver in the league, who do you think your first pick would be?
Any receiver in the league to throw a touchdown, I would love to reconnect with either KJ or Jahan. That's, you know, go back to the old days. That would be really cool, just because of the history that we have. I would say that then fast forward a few years when my brother comes out, that would be also – that would probably be the best touchdown ever. My dad would have a heart attack. You know, I would probably freak out. That might be my last game. but there's a lot of things that could go right. I really wanted it to happen this year. We almost did – in the Rose Bowl, actually, cool story. He was on the left side, and Mitch Tinsley was on the right. The touchdown, I threw a glance, you know, like a little short post to Mitch Tinsley for a touchdown. But Liam was on the left, and it was like even, but there was a little bit of an overhang. So it was like it was a sure thing to the right. But, oh, man, I'll tell you what, for like a good 3 seconds, I was like, I got to force this. I got to try to force this in there. But then I just took Mitch and we scored. But it took a lot out of me not to just try to force the ball to Liam.
You're a better person than
dude,
I am. I would have thrown that
I was
going
to say, that is the perfect clip to send to teams, is that if you're getting a quarterback in Sean Clifford, you're not getting a nepotism quarterback. But you mentioned KJ. You mentioned KJ and you mentioned Jahan. And I say this all the time, right? Penn State, while we haven't gotten to the level we've wanted to recently, that being the college football playoff, we have had a ton of success. And the success has then translated over to the NFL, particularly at the combine and at these pro days. I find that these Penn State athletes, they're just becoming a whole different beast. I remember watching Troy Apke run his 40-yard dash a few years back. What is it about the preparation at Penn State or the training staff that gets you guys so ready for the next level?
Yeah, I think it started with Dwight Gault, our old strength coach. You know, he was a wizard when it came to combine prep. You start when you're a freshman. You're starting with the 40 and the shuttle. We're practicing it all the time, and you develop it over the years. And then now with the new regime with Chuck Losey, I think that, you know, he's fantastic as well. Different style. Deej was a little bit more, old school. Chuck is much more – I would say science-based a little bit, but he's also, I mean, if you've ever seen the guy, he's got like the handlebar mustache. The dude does not mess around. Yeah. Like, he is intense, but I love Los. He's an awesome, awesome strength coach. So I think that's kind of where it's formed. And then secondly, I'd say the recruiting. Like, Coach Franklin does not mess around. He's getting recruits that are super athletic, guys who can play on the field but also pop crazy numbers. So I think it's that combo that you see at the combine. You're always seeing Penn State, because, you know, we're training that way, but we're also getting dudes that can fly. So
is that a thing? Do people in like the league circle or around like the people that you're around be like, yeah, Penn State's going to kill the combine again as usual?
Scouts talk about it a good amount. You know, I think that we're definitely known, for being, you know, combine ready, I would say, just from the prep and the training, because we train so hard. Like, Penn State does not mess around when it comes to summer training. You know, we're there 365. And it's a lot of it's player led as well. You know, when I came in, it was Trace and Tommy Stevens and those guys leading the cause. And then when they moved on, you know, myself, Jair Brown, KJ, all the leaders that have came through, both offense and defense, we talk about it all the time, getting that extra work when there's, you know, periods where we could be off, you know, we're staying in town and making sure that we're getting the workouts in that we need. So I think it's just the Penn State culture there of, you know, trying to reach that goal. of being a college football team, which I think that, you know, they're close. I mean, they're going to have a really good team this year. So I'm excited.
Listen, man, you want a good meal? Maybe not. You want a quarterback that can run a 4.5 and broad jump 9.8? We got you.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like Penn State kills the combine and they kill just draft preparation in general. But did they prepare you for the Snapback Sports Podcast Wonderlic test? Because this is a whole different level. This is a whole different. I don't know if we've had a Nittany Lion take it yet.
I don't know if we've had a Nittany Lion. Jack notoriously likes to make fun of my degree and my education from Penn State. He thinks that a Texas degree is better. But I think that we'll go ahead and we'll disprove that right now. So
let's do
this test.
Don't give him context.
I don't want
to. He's a quarterback. He should be able to navigate.
No, context is I don't want to scare him. But your results on this test are pretty indicative of how your career is going to play
out. That's
true. Like Trayvon Diggs. No pressure. Trayvon Diggs took the test, passed it with flying colors. Devontae Smith took it, passed it with flying colors. There are other guys who I won't name who didn't kill it that are probably on LinkedIn looking for a different job right now. So we'll give you some questions and we'll have some fun and we'll see if you're going to be in the Hall of Fame or if you're going to be working at Canes and State College in a few years. Question number one. How many times can you subtract 10 from 100?
How many times can you subtract 10 from 100?
No one's gotten this yet.
No. That's your hint.
9. I don't know. 9.
The answer is 1, because the next time that you would subtract 10, you'd be subtracting
from 90. 90. Nice question. Good question. Great start.
That's fair. You're in for one. Get ready. All right. If 2 is a company and 3 is a crowd, what do 4 and 5 make?
If 2 is a company and 3 is a crowd?
Yep.
What do 4 and 5 make?
Yeah.
It gets me every time.
I have no idea.
9.
The answer's 9.
Yeah.
What?
Four and 5.
4 plus 5
four
is
and
9.
5. It makes 9.
And that's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
See? Right. See, first we blitz you, and then we drop 8. You got to be prepared for all types of attack here.
You got a point. You have a point.
All right, I think you get back on track with this one right here.
All right, perfect.
Question number 3. The opposite of least is most, but what do you put in a toaster?
Bread.
There you go.
Okay. We're right back at it.
We're at the basics now. Here we go. I got you.
All right. This is a good one, too. Where can you add 2 to 11 and get 1?
I don't think anyone's gotten this either.
No, they haven't.
Where can you add 2 to 11 and get 1? Man, it can't be a number thing, right? It's got to be something out of the box here.
It is something out of the box. Let me rephrase just slight differentiation. Maybe it helps.
Give me one more time.
Where can you add 2 to 11 and end up at 1? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
Land at 1.
Land at 1. That's aggressive hint, I feel like.
I couldn't tell you.
The answer is on a clock.
That one's
a good one.
I'll be honest. If you ask me that without me making this test, no shot.
No, because when you're thinking of all the ways, but if you're not thinking about a clock or looking at one, there's no way your mind is going there.
Not a chance.
All right. Jane's father has 3 daughters. 1 named Beyonce, 1 named Kelly. What's the name of the 3rd daughter?
Jane's father has 3 daughters.
1 named Kelly. 1 named Beyonce. What is the name of the 3rd daughter? One more time. Jane's father has 3 daughters. 1 named Beyonce. 1 named Kelly. I see the wheels spinning.
Yeah, I'm spinning now. What Jane's is the name? Father.
What?
Yes,
Jane's father,
father
has 3 daughters.
Jane! There it is. Yes.
There we go.
I was nervous because we've never had someone repeat it and not end up at the answer.
Yeah,
but I'm glad
that would have been rough.
All right. What word in the dictionary is spelled incorrectly?
Incorrectly. I'm good. Let's go.
Package up real quick.
Yeah, that was easy.
All right. 4th and 1. from or fourth and five from the 10-yard line, fourth and goal, actually. You got to get in the end zone with this one. Ready?
Perfect. Here we go.
We've had a few different variations of the answer of this question, so we accept multiple. Here we go. A man went outside in the pouring rain without an umbrella. Not a singular hair on his head got wet. How is that possible?
A man went outside?
He went outside in the pouring rain without an umbrella, no umbrella. Not a singular hair on his head got wet. How is that possible?
He was in a car?
You have to be outside to get in the car. I don't know if he'd accept that. Keep going.
He just went outside and there was just not wet?
Yeah. His hair didn't get wet.
How can his hair not get wet?
He was wearing a swim cap.
That plays.
That's pretty much.
That plays, but the answer is he's bald.
I like that one better. All right, listen,
what you showed me in that test
that was good.
Is that you can bounce back from adversity very easily.
Yeah.
You don't get too high. You don't get too low. You stay in the moment, and you attack the next play. You attack the next question.
With enthusiasm, too. I love that.
We've seen people flunk this test with no enthusiasm.
We've seen people quit out.
We've seen people end the Zoom because they got pissed at us. They didn't end up getting drafted. But listen, I know that wasn't probably the performance that you wanted. It took a few questions for you to get the motor running. But as a pairing that has given this test a lot, we like where you're going, Sean.
I appreciate that, Coach.
He's wanted someone to call him Coach, I think, his whole life.
Or that, Coach, sir. Yeah, that works. But enough of football, enough of the test. They're not only getting Sean Clifford the quarterback, they're getting Sean Clifford the person, whoever drafts you. What does Sean Clifford like to do outside of football? What is Sean Clifford the non-quarterback like?
I think, when I created this company, entrepreneurship has always been something that I've been really excited about. I started when I was young. I was a junior in high school. I started making like a quarterback academy. I had a bunch of clients and taught, younger kids when I was a junior and senior in high school. And then being able to create Limitless NIL and then exit Limitless NIL and now being able to be around and hang out until I get drafted. Entrepreneurship's really cool. And really, I think it ties in right back to being a quarterback just because from the leadership perspective,
for sure.
Being innovative, being able to bounce back from adversity, as Coach said. I think that there's a lot of things that tie in. But I really enjoy that. I love self-educating. I love doing all the YouTube videos and podcasts and listening to all my favorites, all of my favorites, especially the snapback. Being able to do that is definitely something I hang my hat on. And I think that's really what I think teams are getting. Teams are getting a guy that, from a self-awareness perspective, I know where teams see me. I'm ready to contribute value. And I'm just excited to keep playing football. I love the game. I love playing at Penn State. I always wanted to get a Big Ten championship. I'm pissed I couldn't, but lots of great wins, lots of great teams that I was able to be a part of, and being able to be the quarterback in that community for so many years, I'll be forever grateful for that opportunity. Through ups and downs, it was the best opportunity I could have ever experienced. As a kid growing up, I always wanted to play Big Ten football and to do it at Beaver Stadium at the highest level.
Yep.
Could never ask for anything more. So super thankful for the fan base and everybody.
Listen, man, you left your legacy at Penn State. You left a stamp there, hold all the records. And we're looking forward to seeing you do the same thing, just like you did at Penn State at the next level. So we wish you the best of luck, Sean. We appreciate you coming on the podcast. Best of luck with the draft. Like I said, you graded out well in the test. All right. It's nothing. Don't just because you couldn't add 4 and 5 doesn't mean that you can't read a blitz. Okay. Sean, we appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Sean.
Stay healthy. Best of luck.
Appreciate it, fellas.